For all the celebration in the media that occurred around the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love, there was nobody really questioning whether the San Francisco sound that was so integral to the Summer of Love even existed. The answer has arrived with Love is the Song We Sing, a four-disc set from Rhino Records, compiled by Alec Palau and packaged as a hardcover book with a gallery of photographs by Jim Marshall, Herb Green, and others. Rock historian Ed Ward takes a look and a listen.
Like many another part of the country, the San Francisco Bay Area in 1965 had its folkies, its Beatles and Stones-inspired bands, and its surf musicians. A lot of them got played on local radio, too, which is something else that wasn't too unusual in those days. But starting in late 1965, it appeared that a change was coming, with crowds showing up to dance, itself illegal, at large dance concerts promoted by local bohemians, featuring some very odd bands.
Whoa, I think I'm going to die. Whoa, I think I'm going to cry. Oh, baby, I just know I'm going to die. Whoa, about the things you do. Whoa, they make me feel so blue. Oh, baby, don't you know that I love you.
The Charlatans were a well-dressed quintet who looked like they'd stepped out of an Edwardian engraving onto the stage. Having spent the summer getting tight, in more ways than one, at the Red Dog Saloon in Virginia City, Nevada, they were now ready to take the stage in their hometown with a unique blend of folk rock and improvisation. Nor were they alone. Another band that assembled around Marty Balin, a former artist and dancer who decided to try an electric folk vision of his own and named his band Blind Lemon Jefferson Airplane, which was too long, so they settled on just the last two words.
It's no secret how strong my love is for you. It's no secret when I tell you what I'm gonna do. Cause I love you, yes, I love you. It's no secret. Everybody knows how I feel. It's no
Jefferson Airplane had one advantage over the Charlatans, though, a record contract with RCA, which was undoubtedly trying to match the top 10 success of another San Francisco folk rock act, We Five.
But I woke up this morning, and you were on my mind.
Five faded pretty quickly, but early in 1966, when dances started being held regularly at the Fillmore Auditorium in San Francisco, a bewildering number of bands started showing up looking for bookings. Not all of them were from San Francisco, though.
Foolish woman left me, tears in my eyes.
The Oxford Circle, for instance, were from Davis, in the suburbs of Sacramento, and although they were never part of the official story, they appeared at both the Fillmore and Avalon ballrooms frequently and were huge favorites with the crowds. So were plenty of other bands from the city's outskirts, like the Frumious Bandersnatch from Diablo Valley, Quicksilver Messenger Service from Mill Valley, and the Warlocks from Palo Alto, who changed their name to the Grateful Dead. In El Cerrito, north of Berkeley, was another band that would never play the ballrooms. Originally the Gollywogs, they became Creedence Clearwater Revival. Very few of these bands sounded like each other. The Fillmore and Avalon, with rival promoters Bill Graham and Chet Helms, presented three bands per show most of the time, and although some of them came from Texas and Seattle, a lot of them were local. This fact wasn't lost on the record companies, who were mostly based in Los Angeles, and soon not only Jefferson Airplane, but also the Grateful Dead, Quicksilver Messenger Service, and Moby Grape had major label contracts. Some of the biggest hopes, though, were tied to a group who came from all over, their lead singer from Port Arthur, Texas.
What don't all-
In a way, Big Brother and the Holding Company epitomized the rise and fall of so many of the ballroom bands. After one album on a Chicago label, they signed for big bucks with Columbia, made one haphazard album for them, and then lead singer Janis Joplin was enticed away to go solo, but she never really found success. Of course, a lot of bands never even got that far, and it's amazing, listening to this collection and looking at the gallery of contemporary portraits it contains, to contemplate just how much talent came and went in this place and time, leaving behind nothing but some very odd sounds on a piece of plastic.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. The music he played is from the new Rhino box set, Love is the Song We Sing.